Very good morning to you. We want to welcome you to Little Sweet Torah. It is a great day to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. It is so, so beautiful outside. We're reminded the Lord cleanses us just as white as that snow is out there. So we give him praise and glory this morning. It's a very special day indeed. We want to thank everyone who braved the snow last night on behalf of the youth. They raised about $1,000. They're at $15,500 right now, which puts them just shy of $3,000 that the funds they need to go to National Youth Conference. So give yourselves a round of applause and thank the Lord for what he's doing through you guys and through the youth to get them to National Youth Conference. They also are planning another soup and sandwich. Tentatively, it's March 4th, but look for any changes. The fellowship hall is reserved that day, so tentatively, it's March 4th, but that may change. So they do thank you. There is, let me read the list. Meatballs. Anyone like meatballs? Spaghetti. Who doesn't like spaghetti, right? And sauce. You got to have the sauce, unless you're LJ who likes just butter, for your meatballs, spaghetti, and sauce downstairs in the fridge by donation. So help yourself and just make a donation. We appreciate those donations. Again, that's on behalf of the youth group. Also on behalf of men's ministry, all the men in the house, put your hand in the air. We need you, every single one of you, to come out to Blue Star Restaurant, 7 a.m. next Saturday. It's the fourth Saturday of the month already. Can you believe that? Wow, the month has passed by. But we are in the Lent season. We're thankful for what Jesus has done for each of us. So next Saturday, men, please come out to Blue Star Restaurant, 7 a.m. Any other announcements you would like to highlight this morning? If you're able, let's rise. Number 12, come, let us all unite to sing. Number 12. We invite you at this time, any joys or concerns that you may have, we have a microphone coming around and we invite you to share in those joys, recognizing in all the things that are going on in our lives that God indeed is love and how we thank him for his unconditional love for us this morning. Any other joys or concerns you'd like to share with your church family this morning? We've got some couples back from a cruise. Aren't they looking tan?
Yes, wow. We are. Woo, amen. It was a wonderful cruise. Great people, John, Jamie, and our friends Mary and Scott. And we thank the Lord for many blessings on the cruise and the fellowship and devotions that we had and the speakers. And we also thank the Lord greatly for our safe arrival home last night in that snowstorm.
Amen. Amen. God is good. In the snowstorms, in the rain, in the heat of the summer, even I can say God is good. Any other joys or concerns this morning?
A joy. If you look up in the ceiling, we were able to get our new speakers hung and the new PA system installed. There'll be a little bit of trial and error until we get it all set up, but I just wanted to say thank you to Todd and Mark and Alan and John High. He spent all day up in the ceiling with us getting these hung, and It was a fun 8-10 hour day, but it's all done, and now we just got some tweaking to do, so thank you, guys.
Give the Lord a round of applause, especially for our volunteers and for the new system. We can all hear well this morning, can't we? Maybe? We're getting there. All right. Well, there's another complete joy this morning. This ranks up there with those days in my life that I'm going to remember forever. The day I got married, the day I had children. The day you join a church is ranked up there with one of the joyous things that we can do in our lives. And so this morning, we're going to welcome Lois and Scott Bone into our church family. They were members of a previous church, and they've already had faith commitments. And so they're doing what we call reaffirming their faith this morning. So their deacons are Jerry and Pauline Seiler, and they're going to have a certificate to give them that just shows this momentous occasion to have a record for them in their lives. So, friends in Christ, you have previously made confession of your faith and have been members of his church. We rejoice in your decision to become members of this congregation in full covenant relationship with the believers who worship and serve God in this place. Do you now reaffirm your faith in and loyalty to Jesus Christ, our Lord, and his gospel? If so, please say, I do. As you unite with this church, will you worship, serve, and share in its program, supporting it by your earnest prayers, attendance, service, and stewardship as God gives you strength? If so, say, with God's help, I will. And do you promise to live and share with us in the bonds of Christian fellowship, giving and receiving Christian love, sharing and bearing one another's joy and pain? If so, please say, I do. On the count of three, congregation, we're going to say, we welcome you, Lois and Scott, with enthusiasm. 1, 2, 3. We welcome you, Lois and Scott. Welcome. Lord bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lord bless you. And they will give your certificates. And the choir has a selection they'd like to sing for us.
I can see.
There's no doubt in our mind that we need the Lord. Every situation we go through in our lives, when the Lord is there and we know that He is, it just makes those situations so much easier for us. So recognize in your life you need the Lord, and try not to do too many things on your own. Recognize with His help you can do far greater things. Would you pray with me? Father God, we just thank You for this beautiful day that You've blessed us with. We thank You for every individual, every family member, every marriage relationship, every child, every youth, every young adult represented here in this place. And we know, Father, You're very much aware of what's happening in their lives right now. And we just pray, Father, recognizing we need You, that You would enter in, that You would become part of what's happening in their lives, and let it be known to them that Your Spirit is leading and guiding them. And we just thank You, Father, this morning for Your Holy Spirit and the way that it guides us into all truth. We know, Father, many of among us have been stricken with illness, and we pray for healing touch upon those individuals, that You would give them strength, Father. You would give them encouragement. You would give them hope in the days ahead, that they know that You are with them. And we just thank You, Father, for Your presence in this place. We thank You that we can worship You freely, for we know across this globe there are people trying to serve You and trying to worship You that are being persecuted. And we just pray for peace in those areas of the world, that You would just make Your appearance known, that peace would be known as well through those people, and the evil would stop around this world. And we just thank You, Father, for cruises and for the ability to nurture our marriage relationships. And we know the roads were unsafe last night as they traveled home, and we just thank You for safety as those couples made their way back home and are here with us this morning in our church service. And we are so thankful for the way that their lives have been touched and the difference You have made in their marriage relationships and the relationships they built with people from all over the country. And we just pray, Lord, that You would help us too to find ways to nurture our marriage relationships, our relationships with our children, and relationships with one another. For we know that one word, Lord, that You call us to do, and it's to love, and to love well. So thank You, God, for meeting us here in this place. Thank You for letting us be able to worship You and to be able to serve You and to be able to know that in all things we are desperate for You, because we can't do this life alone. So thank You, Father, for being a God that loves us unconditionally. We just take pause right now. We take a moment. We know sin creeps into our lives. We know there's times we've failed You. And we're just taking a brief moment and just confessing those sins to You and asking for Your forgiveness. So, Father, hear our prayers as we know You do during these next few moments of silence. Father, words just don't seem to be enough to thank You for the forgiveness that You have given us at the cross, for the hope of eternal life beyond this life, that these things that happen in this world are temporary compared to our eternal home in heaven. We just pray, Father, through Your Spirit, You would enable us to live for You, to trust You, to believe You in all situations, knowing that You are good. We just thank You, Father, for Lois and for Scott this morning. We thank You for their family here this morning, and just pray tremendous, tremendous blessings upon each of them. And just thank You for their hearts, and thank You for their willingness to come and be a part of this Little Swatara congregation. We ask now, Father, You would just be with each of us as we continue to worship You. May we indeed stand out in our community as bright lights. May our love be overwhelming, that others would know we are Christians. And we just thank You for the belief that we have and the trust that we have in You. And we live the rest of our days sold out to You and surrendered and submitted to Your will. Thank You, God, for being here in this place with us. And as we leave this place in our own worlds that we travel to, whether work or school or home, thank You, God, for being with us. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As our offertory thought before the offerings collected this morning, think about those words, I'd rather have Jesus. When you look at your life, are there things that you'd rather have than Jesus? And it's time perhaps to take a look at your priorities, because Jesus in all things should be first. And so we thank him for the abundant blessings that he has given us in our lives. And we return those blessings to him this morning, recognizing that in all things we'd rather have him than any of these earthly things, because we know they too shall perish and pass away. But knowing him never passes away, and one day we'll spend eternity with him. As the offertory is collected, we'll have another hymn and then we'll pray. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you this morning for the offerings brought forth, and we pray, Father, you would use them for your glory. We thank you, Father, for the cheerful givers. We thank you for the earthly possessions we have, but Father, we do say we'd rather have you, and we recognize our need for you this morning, Lord, and we pray the days of our lives that we would live for you, we would serve you and worship you in every moment of every day, and we just thank you for being here in this place, for allowing us to come to you and worship and serve you, and it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Jesus, only Jesus.
Good morning, guys. You guys want to come up front and join me? And the kids want to come up front? But you got to run. Okay? You got to run. Okay, stop. Stop, stop, stop. Okay, come on. Okay, stop. Okay, come on. Okay, stop one more time. Okay, come on. I did that for a reason, not just to see you stop. Do you know what today is? Today is the first Sunday of Lent. You know what Lent is? No? What's coming up soon? In about 40 days?
Easter.
Easter, that's right. And you know what Easter is? Yeah, you guys all know what Easter is. So during this time of Lent, that's a time for us to reflect and to pray. So the reason I said stop, go. So when you come to a street, let's say you're going to the park or you want to go someplace fun, and you get to a road, what do? You stop, right? What do you do after you stop? You look, that's right. And before you cross, you do one more thing. What do you do before? Reed, what do? You're waving, I know. You look, and then you listen. So you stop, you look, and you listen, right? So during this time of Lent that we reflect and we pray, it's a time for us to stop and kind of look at ourselves and ask, are we living the way God wants us to live? And it makes us look at ourselves, right? Kind of reflect. And the listen part is to listen to God, to read the Bible, to read with mom and dad. Do you guys read the Bible? Do you read with mom and dad? I know you do. Graham?
I do.
I know you do. Yeah. So during the next month and a half or so, or about a little over a month, as we lead up to Easter, take this time with yourselves, with mom and dad, to stop. Because you guys, I know you're real busy. We're all busy, you guys. Some of you guys are with Sunday school and with school and
with homework.
So take time to stop and slow down. And then look at yourselves and look at how you're, if you're good every day, if you're listening to what mom and dad are saying. And then listen to God, listen to how, read the Bible, how he's trying to teach us how to live, okay? All right, pray with me, guys. Father, we thank you for these kids here sitting before us, and we just ask that you're with them as they're looking forward to Easter and listening to you so they can live as you want them to live, Lord Jesus. And we ask all these things in your glorious name. Amen. Thanks, guys. You can come back to your seats. Stop. No, I'm kidding.
Thank you.
Amen. Nothing gets you more fired up than singing songs to the Lord in the morning, does it? We should do that every day, shouldn't we? Start your morning singing praises to the Lord. Whatever songs you know upon your heart, just start singing them. What a joy it is to be here this morning. I have a phrase I'm going to say, and you're going to say it back to me. Maybe you've done it as a kid. Maybe you even do it as adults. But it goes like this. I say, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? And then you repeat it to me. And you know we do. We love Jesus this morning. And it's something very easy to say, yet it's sometimes very difficult to understand. How can we love a God we can't see or touch? How do we love him when we question his voice? When we doubt our circumstances? How do imperfect people like you and I love a perfect God? We've heard it a few times by now, and this is the last Sunday hearing it as we head into the Lenten season. But Jesus said in Mark 12, 29 to 30, and it's the greatest commandment, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. We've been discovering these past few weeks what that means to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Again, that's not half, that's not three quarter, that's not 99.999%. It's all. It's the total and complete package. So friends, this morning we ask ourselves, is this even possible to be all balanced? With an all-consuming love for an unconditional loving God. We've heard it said, loving God with all our heart means making him our greatest treasure, valuing our relationship with him more than anything in our lives. And friends, that means more than your spouse, more than your children, more than your grandchildren, more than those pets you have in your home, your cars, even this church. Anything we hold on to, we hold less than our love for God. Matthew 6, 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. We've also learned our soul is who we are. It's the part of us that lives forever. So loving God with our soul means loving him with all that we are. John Ortberg in his book, Soul Keeping, states, and I quote, your soul is what integrates, what connects, what binds together your will. Then your mind, those thoughts, feelings and desires going on all the time, and then your body with all of its appetites, habits, and behavior. And this is where I'd like to say in the sermon, we lose control. We surrender our will to the will of our Heavenly Father. In other words, our plans are not our own. When we start to think that we're in control, it's time to realign. It's time to look at our priorities and decide what's more important. Life, as we know, isn't always a bowl full of cherries. And the sooner we realize this, the easier it's going to be with the adversity, able to deal with the adversities of life when it seems out of control. Friends, we must recognize we're not our own. We are bought at a price. And that price is the very life of Jesus Christ, so that our sins, which we cannot pay the price for, can be paid in full. Friends, Jesus did that for us. Just when we think we know what's best, Jesus knows better. Even he, the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, in that garden on the night of his betrayal, said to his Father, not my will, but your will be done. How amazing would it be in our lives, in any given situation, to pray that prayer, not my will, but your will be done. We know it's not easy. We want what we want, but friends, God knows better. What we consider good for ourselves may not be as good as we thought. But in one way or another, God will take tragedy in our lives and he will create something good out of it. Now, I can't stand here and say I understand why students being killed in a school in Florida will result in good. But I can look to God's word and I can see that in Romans 8:28, it reads this. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The King James Version translated as, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Friends, we can't possibly understand this, but God works all things together for good, both for us and for him. You see, as God is glorified, his people then benefit. But let's dig a little deeper here in Romans 8 with all the things that are happening in our world and in our lives that we just can't comprehend. Paul is contrasting a life lived in selfish pursuit. That's what we call the flesh or our own will. And he's contrasting that to one lived in accordance or together with God, which we know as the Spirit. Paul reminds us that our sovereign God is all-knowing, all-wise, and all-powerful. Therefore, what we gather is those who love God can trust in his goodness, can trust in his power, and can trust in his will to work all things for good. In other words, in this life, we journey together with him. Please understand that the promise God works all things together for good does not mean all things are good. Some things, some events are undeniably bad. But God, our God, who is for us, is able to work them together for good. And here's why. Because our God sees the big picture. Our God has the master plan. So this takes us to our mind. And we learned this just last week, that loving God with all our mind is loving him with our reason and intellect. Now here's where it can get sticky for some people. Having faith doesn't mean giving up knowledge and understanding. Loving God with our mind includes study. It includes thoughts that help us grow our faith. And as a result, we know it blesses our relationship with him. Colossians 4:2, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast, because they trust in you. And Ephesians 4:21, leading into 23, reads, when you heard about Christ and were taught in him in accordance with the truth that is in Jesus. And here's why in verse 23, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. We don't need to go shopping for new outfits. We don't need to go to the salon for new hairstyles and painted nails. The new you are looking for is in Christ Jesus, my friends. There's this new self that's been waiting. It's been on the shelf in your body for a long time, waiting to burst forth, to come to life, to be like God in his true righteousness and holiness. And all we need to do is get the self out of the way and be undone. And then, friend, I promise you, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you can be made new. As much as we want to be Superman, as much as we want to be Superwoman, The power comes from above. Captain America can't save the day. Only Jesus, in the power of the resurrection, can not only save the day, but save our very lives. It was on this first Sunday of Lent, Jesus was baptized by John, and it says in Mark 1:10 to 13, just as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." And then here's what happens. It goes on to say, at once. That means in the snap of a finger, the Spirit sent him out into the wilderness. And he was in the wilderness, not 39 days, 40 days being tempted by Satan. He was with wild animals and the angels attended him. Friends, if you're looking for a superhero, you just found him in the person of Jesus Christ. We conclude with loving God with our strength. We call this love in action. You know what happened as soon as Jesus was done in the wilderness those 40 days? He began to preach the good news. And friends, that's the highest calling in our lives, to preach the good news. And we do that by loving God in the way we say things, in the way we do things, in honoring him with our abilities, with our resources, and with our actions. Philemon 1:6, "And I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ." So this is what it looks like. But I don't know about you. I'm humbled by how many times I fall short of the all part. Anyone here a fan of sticky notes? You like sticky notes? Those things are everywhere. And I remember they used to only be in neon yellow. Now it's really cool because on my desk, on my wall, in my car, on my refrigerator, you'll find blue ones, orange ones, pink ones, and the really cool green ones. So if you have a sticky note this morning, if you have a piece of paper, if you have your phone and you can make notes in your phone, I want us to think about the top 10 ways that we can love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. This may very well help us in balance in loving God as we move through this Lenten season and the days ahead. And number one says, read and study his word. Friends, I cannot begin to describe what happens when you read and study his word. It's not always an aha moment. It may be later in the day, it may be later in the week, but as you read and study God's word, he has something to say. So read and study his word. Number two, write prayers and his answers. Some of us have been praying for certain things for a very, very long time. And when those prayers are answered, we need to write down his answers so that the next time we encounter a prayer and God seems to be waiting a long time, we can look back in our journal and we can say, there's a prayer that I wrote down. I was praying for my father for recovery in rehab, and his answer came forth. He's now back at home. So remember to write prayers and his answers. Number three, memorize his promises. Now, I'll be the first to admit I'm not all that great at memorizing. But if you were to memorize only one verse in the entire Bible, many non-Christians even know this verse, John 3:16. And so if you know that verse, would you say it with me this morning? John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." If you write that promise upon your heart and you remind yourself of the love that God has given you, sending his only son, that our sins might be forgiven, that we might have eternal life. If that promise is memorized and you recall that as you face struggles, you'll realize nothing in this world is going to impact me. Nothing is going to take me away from that love because he sent that son for each of us. Number four, be still in his presence. Now notice it doesn't say be still while watching TV. It doesn't say be still while playing golf or be still while fishing. Be still in his presence. That means remove all distractions and focus on God's presence. And again, when you take that time to be in the presence of God, amazing, incredible things are going to happen. Your emotions are going to become overwhelmed. And most times, if not every time, you end up in tears because the presence of God is unlike any experience you'll ever encounter in your life. So be still in his presence. Number five, do what you're doing now. Spend time with his people. So many argue, I don't need to attend church to be a believer, and so be it. But you're not able to spend time with his people. Yes, we all have our own quirks. There's differences between us. That's what makes us humans. But in the body of Christ, there's so much love, so much encouragement. Spend time with his people. Number six, very difficult for some of us. Write down his will for you. Now you might say, I'm not sure God has a will for me. And he does, friend. God has a will for every single one of us. A will is just a fancy word of saying God's plans. I look around this room and I can see God's will unfolding in many of your lives. All you need to do is look at your passions. Look at what you're good at. Look at what you're experienced with. And God's will, if it lines up with his will, unfolds in that way. So Jeremy is a great shop teacher. I don't know the fancy word for that. But he is able to connect with kids in a way that is beyond comparison. Walking across tables in the middle of VBS, he keeps kids' attention. That's part of his passion. So God's will for him is to work with kids, to work with youth, among many other things. You might be skilled in craftsmanship. Dive into that and realize, you know, God has given you that passion for a reason. And it includes here at church. You may not like to be on the front scene and preaching up front or doing a children's moment, but you may like stacking chairs or you may like putting tables out. There's so many things at the church on a level that you're able to accomplish that God's will would allow you to do. And then as you move to number seven, trust that will. Sometimes we feel like, you know what, I'm living into God's will, but I don't really feel like God's blessing me in his will. I don't really feel like this is what God's will is for me. And so the enemy creeps in and he starts to make you question that. So trust his will and continue to pray and seek his will that you're in his will. And number eight, naturally, is obeying his will, following through. Sometimes we're good at being like, yeah, I think God's will is for me to go to Haiti, to go out of the country. And then we trust that, but then we never really obey it and actually go out of the country. Once you obey that will, the blessings that abound, I can't even begin to describe to you. Number nine, praise and thank him for who he is. Praise and thank him for who he is. Every moment of every day, there's something to praise God for. When your car starts, when you wake up out of bed, praise God, I'm alive. Praise God, I have a car that works. When you go to work, praise God for your job. You may not like it all that much, but just thank him for what he's blessed you with in this life. And when you start living a life full of praising and thanking him, life is so incredible. And number 10, daily remember his love and faithfulness. Daily remember his love and faithfulness. There's no doubt there's going to be times we question God. There's going to be times we doubt. There's going to be times we struggle in our relationship with him based on things that are happening right in front of us. But look to the past and daily remember his love and faithfulness in the ways that he has provided for you, in the ways that he has given you things that you never imagined you would be able to accomplish, such as graduating from college or being able to become a teacher or whatever it may be. Daily remember his love and faithfulness in those things. So this morning, as we wrap up our series, Undone, I want you to remember what that means. Undone is just a fancy way of saying being broken, allowing ourselves to be exposed to a God who already knows every single thing about you. And as you become undone, there's going to be pieces flying everywhere. People are going to be ducking because they realize, whoa, he's becoming undone. God's ripping things off of him that he needs to let go of. So that's going to let a mess. And we have to rely on God's strength to put us back together, because when we're broken, we're longing to be made whole, and only God can do that as we trust him, as we put our faith in him, that God, okay, I'm broken before you, but I need you to put me back together. And that, my friends, is where we find the balance in loving God. So as we conclude the service this morning, I just want to speak powerful scriptures over you. They'll be on the screen, but listen and let them speak into whatever it is in your life at this very moment. Psalm 50, 15. Call on me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you and you will honor me. Ezekiel 36, 26. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. Isaiah 41, 13. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. And Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And friends, this final verse, know this, believe this, allow this to become part of who you are. And it reads in Philippians 4:13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Friends, perhaps this morning you need to know that God is for you. God is not against you. And with Christ's strength, by the power of the Spirit, you and I can live with the full assurance of God's love. And we can, by his sovereign grace, with all of our heart, all of our mind, all of our soul, and all of our strength, love him in return. So may this Lenten season lead us into being more and more undone for the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord, whom we give all glory and power forever and ever. We are about to close with one of the most powerful songs that we can ever sing, because it's something in the midst of the trials, in the midst of the pain we go through in life, we sometimes lose sight of. So this morning, I invite you to stand as we close with We Shall Go Out With Joy. Friends, it's a choice. May today be the day you choose joy despite what's going on around you. Please rise. We shall go out with joy. That was some amazing singing this morning. We indeed have an incredible joy. The joy in knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The joy that is everlasting. May that joy go forth with each and every single one of us. And may that joy overflow into the lives of others we connect with this very day. And may peace and may love and may compassion and may mercy pour upon each of you. In the name of Jesus our Lord, amen and amen.